All things are possible to them that believe. For with God, what? Nothing shall be impossible. We are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. We are actually members, citizens of a kingdom in Christ that cannot be shaken. Sometimes our lives are shaken. Our soul is shaken. Everything around us may be shaking. But if we are in Christ, if we are close to Him, amen, there's stability. The only stable place is in Christ. The only safe place is in Christ. Amen. It's not escaping to a mountain, putting food, canned food in a cave somewhere. Amen. But safety is in Christ. God can make water come from a rock. Amen. God can rain manna down from heaven. God can do anything. He can increase, amen, what we give Him. He can multiply fishes and loaves. He can do all those things. And so we need to put our confidence, our trust, our faith in the God who cannot fail. I said He cannot fail. He will not and He cannot fail. He is the everlasting God. In fact, everything is held together by what? The word of His power. God spoke and it was so. You and I are held together by the word of God. If it wasn't for the word of God, we would completely come unglued, if you will. So God is the one who is the strength of our life. We have to trust Him. We have to rely upon Him, call on Him, believe in Him. And God does take care of His sheep. If the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. Hallelujah. How many know He leads us beside the still waters? He restores our soul. No matter how bad things appear, no matter how hopeless things may appear, we're never without hope in the Lord. Now, people that don't have Jesus are without hope. We were once without hope. But if we have Jesus, we have hope. He holds everything by the word of His power. He gives life and breath. God's not at all worried. God is not at all shaken about what's happening. We see these things through our natural eyes, our natural understanding. And sometimes if we're not careful, we can get into a thing called fear, worry, anxiety about the future. But we need to understand something. Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. The Lord has all authority in heaven and on earth. And if we are His people and we're under His authority, then there's care, there's protection, there's provision. God will make a way even where there doesn't seem to be a way. And the only thing that's going to keep us together is a person, amen? It's Jesus. He's the only one that will keep us in the days ahead. There are many people who think and thought that they were strong in themselves. And how many know that we're vulnerable to the attack of the enemy when we get confident in ourselves? When things start to go smoothly, we have a tendency to draw away, to disconnect, and then begin to get back under self-confidence. And once we're in self-confidence, we become a target for the enemy. Now, have you ever heard the statement, well, give him enough rope to hang himself? Well, the enemy kind of watches. He doesn't immediately pounce on us, does he? Sometimes he waits so that he can do the maximum amount of damage in your life by letting you just kind of go your merry way. God is a lover of our soul. He's relentless. He's the good shepherd who gave His life for the sheep. He's the one that left the 99 and came looking for you and for me. In His mercy, God gave us His Son as an offering to pay our debt. That's the love of God demonstrated through the cross of Jesus. Amen. That God wants us to be with Him, and God wants us to be under His protection, under His care. God wants us to trust His heart. No matter how things look, no matter how dark it may seem, there is a light, amen, that shines in the darkness. It is a bright light, is the light of Christ, amen. So no matter how dark it may seem, and I had a brother speak this over my life years ago, I'll never forget it. He says, no matter how dark it is, he says, you don't have dark days. You don't have dark days because you have the light. You hear that? Gloom, despair, and agony on me. Deep, dark depression, excessive misery. Well, if that's your thought pattern, that's what you reap. Isn't that true? It's very true. There's no reason why we should ever, as God's people, be hopeless. The world around us is hopeless. It's without hope. It's a sinking ship. But in Christ, there is stability. There is protection. We are on the ark, Christ Jesus. Amen? And He will carry us to safety. We need to trust Him. Through it all, we learn to trust in Jesus. We learn to trust in God, to depend upon His Word. His Word is true. Our understanding gets us in trouble. Our own thinking gets us in trouble. We have to be logical about everything. Everything is 1 and 1 equals 2. Well, not necessarily in the kingdom. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. They're higher than our ways and higher than our thoughts. We need the mind of Christ. We need to know what God says about the situation. Not what the situation says to us, but what God says about the situation. God is not weak. God is certainly capable. God can do anything. All things are possible to them that believe. Love hopes all things. Amen? Doesn't give up. Doesn't throw the towel in. What we need to do is understand that there is a higher love. It's called agape love. If we operate in the sensual and the eros love, the natural affection only in our relationships or whatever it is that we're dealing with in life, then we'll very easily be prone to attack and destruction by the enemy. But there is a place in God, there is a higher love, the agape love of God, that brings everybody together in one and in harmony, in unity, and one accord. God wants His body to be brought together in unity in His agape love, His perfect love. Are you hearing me today? If we live below that and we live only in the eros or the feeling of love, well, the feelings will fail you. We cannot live simply by feeling, amen? We need to live by faith in God's promise that He can do what we can't do for ourselves. This kingdom that we're involved with right now, the kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God, is a kingdom that cannot be stopped. It's an advancing kingdom that will never be defeated, that will never stop. The Lord is the captain of this army. He's the king of this kingdom. And no devil in hell is going to stop what the Lord has set in motion. He's going to do it. He's going to build His church. He's going to have a holy people. Amen? God is well able. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or think. Exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think. Our minds are telling us, oh, it's too big, it's too much, it's too impossible. But God is bigger than our minds. Can you say amen? His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. We need to look above, amen, ourselves to Him who can do anything and make anything happen, including water from a rock. Manna from heaven. Jesus said in Matthew 24:14, This gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations. And then the end will come. It's going to happen. The devil has been trying to stop the advancement of God's kingdom. Amen? Has the devil succeeded? No, and he won't succeed. We win because Jesus Christ has overcome the world. Our forerunner, our big brother Jesus Christ, our forerunner has gone before us. Amen? We got to turn our eyes upon Him, look to Him, hope in Him, trust in Him. God is working on things right now. God is getting things ready for His coming. And God doesn't want His people getting preoccupied with the fretting about the things that we see around us that are broken and negative and bad and dark. And I want us to take a look again once more at Psalms 37:1. And it says, "Do not fret because of evildoers." How many beside myself have found yourself doing that? "Nor be envious of the workers of iniquity." I remember as a young person, I would look at people who were living a sinful life, but they had a prosperous life. And I used to think, man, wouldn't it be cool to have what they have and do what they do? Well, no, it wasn't actually, was it? It was a lie. It was dressed up pretty, but it was ugly. Sin is ugly, isn't it? But sometimes sin comes in a pretty package. And that's why it's so deceptive. If it wasn't attractive, it wouldn't be a temptation. "For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on His faithfulness. Delight yourself." Now He's telling us what we need to do. He first says, don't do this. Don't fret about evildoers. Don't be envious about the workers of iniquity. But this is what I want you to do. Trust me. Trust me, says the Lord. Do good. Dwell in the land and feed on my faithfulness. Delight yourself also in me, says the Lord. And I will give you the desires of your heart. Hear it from the Lord today. Commit your ways to me, says the Lord. Trust also in me, and I'll bring it to pass. I'll bring forth your righteousness as a light and your justice as a noonday. God will go to bat for us. God will intervene for us. God will defend His people. God doesn't like it when people attack His people. God doesn't like it when the devil touches His people. Amen? Rest in the Lord. Not rest in drugs, alcohol, sex, whatever else people are just trying to fill their lives up with as a temporary band-aid. God says, rest in me. Wait patiently for Him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. And verse 8, he says, cease from anger. Forsake wrath. Do not fret. It only causes harm. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. We need to, in our patience, possess our souls. God is with us. God is for us. No matter what it looks like, no matter what the enemy's up to, God is on the throne. He is King. He is Lord. And He has all authority. Where? In heaven. And on earth. That hasn't changed. I heard a statement fairly recently. It says, well, if your enemy is killing himself, don't stop him. How many know that the enemy is actually self-destructive? How many know that when we follow him, we're being self-destructive? When we listen to his voice. When we yield to temptation, we're being self-destructive. We're allowing Him access to our lives to do what He wants with us. And He doesn't want to do us any good. Can you say amen? But the Lord said, I've come that you might have life and life to the full. So He says, number one, trust in the Lord, do good, delight yourself in Him. Hallelujah. Commit your way to Him. Rest in Him, and then cease from anger and stop fretting. Write those down. Think on those. Meditate on those truths. Trust the Lord. No matter what's happening, believe God's with you. God's for you. He's not against you. God's able. And do the right thing, even when it hurts. Even when it's not easy, do the right thing. Even when it goes contrary to what your mind may say, trust the Lord's word. Amen. Delight in Him. How many delight in Jesus? And then whatever you're doing, commit your way to God. How about running it by His desk first before you go, amen, and launch out into something major? Say, Lord, what do you think about this? Acknowledge Him. And then get into rest. Get out of stress. If you're in stress, you're not in rest. If you're anxious, you're not in the peace of God. If I find myself being anxious, it means that I have a lack of peace. And a lack of peace means I have a lack of Jesus. Come on. I'm not totally yielding and leaning on and depending on His grace. Instead, I'm in self. And worry is me trying to do something that's beyond my capability anyways. Worrying is me saying God's not able, so I have to take it into my own hands and do it. That's what happened with Abraham. He got worried that he wasn't going to have a son, even though God promised him a son. He got worried. I'm not getting any younger here, and this thing hasn't happened yet. Maybe I just need to help myself a little bit. Well, if it's a promise of God, you can't make happen what God says He will do. Some people are jumping ahead of God, trying to make something happen that God hasn't called them to, or maybe they're not ready for yet. It's all in His timing, like you said. Verse 12 says, again, let's look at it. The wicked plots against the just. I want to skip over a few verses. And gnashes at him with his teeth. Now, what does the Lord do? You see the Lord being stressed out here about this? The Lord laughs at him, and He sees that His day is coming. The devil hates God, amen? And the devil knows, listen, that he cannot touch God directly. So he comes after God's people, because if he can touch you and I, he can hurt God's heart. Because He loves us. How many here love your children? I hope so. Raise your hand and you say amen. Not every day, but most of the time, right? But if you love your children, you're protective of your children. And you don't want anybody touching your children. And if they touch your children, it's as though they touched who? You. You see that? The enemy cannot touch God. So what he wants to do is he wants to get to God through us by touching His anointed, touching His children, and getting them to indulge in sin and destructive behaviors, to rebel against the word of the Lord. And then he can say, ha, now I've given the unbeliever an opportunity to blaspheme God, because look what God's people, they claim to be followers of Jesus, and look what they do. The devil's busy, we know that, yes. He's assembling the nations together to oppose God and His covenant people. He wants to establish this world order that will exalt Him instead of the God of heaven. And how ridiculous for Satan to think that he can ultimately succeed in this. Things may appear to be hopeless, but they're not. Don't be deceived by what you see in the natural. Things are never hopeless. God has a plan, and God is going to fulfill that plan. God is building His kingdom. God has set in motion His plan, and no devil in hell will stop the plan of God from being fulfilled. And you and I are called to join Him in the mission of God in the earth, amen, to be builders together with Christ. Did you know every one of us here are called to be a builder with Jesus, to serve the Lord? This is the will of God for us. This is something that we get to do, that God allows us to partner with Him in His mission in the earth. And I don't know about you, but I used to serve myself quite well and indulge myself quite well in this world. But what was the fruit of that? Everybody say zero. Nothing eternal will come out of what I do apart from the will of God. The will of God is the Word of God, and the Word of God abides forever. And those who do the will of God. That's what Jesus said. How ridiculous for a mere man to think that somehow he can stop the plans of the Almighty when He has set in motion His plan to build His kingdom and to establish that, first of all, in the hearts of men and women in the earth. Amen. Jesus is going to come again, just like He said. He's coming to receive His bride. He's coming to receive His church. He's coming for the ones who are looking for His return. And then He's going to rule the nations with a rod of iron. Hallelujah. So when we look at all the foolishness that's going on in the assemblies of man, in the governments of this world, all the corruption, Jesus is going to deal with it. Don't fret about it. Don't worry about it. Don't be in fear of it. Hang on to Jesus. Amen? Because the only safe place is in Him. Trust the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. What you're seeing in your natural eyes and looking at things and get into this fretting about, oh, this and that's wrong. And how many know that you can spend your entire day just fretting over stuff that's wrong? Very easily. And it can actually become an addiction. How many know that that's not healthy, even for your physical body, to dwell on that? We need to dwell on what's good, what's true, what's pure, what's lovely. We need to be meditating, thinking on the good report. Amen? Anything praiseworthy. In Revelation 19:15, it says, out of His mouth goes a sharp sword, and with it He should strike the nations. And He Himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He Himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. This is what's going to happen when Jesus returns the second time. How many know that Jesus is not coming to be mocked this time? He's not going to be crucified this time. He's not going to be disrespected this time. He's coming as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And every knee shall bow of those things in heaven, those things on earth, those things under the earth. Every tongue will confess what? Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. We confess Him right as Lord today. And on His robe He has this name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And that's why the psalmist was inspired to read this and to pen this in Psalms 2. Why do the nations of the Gentiles rage and the people, the Jews, plot a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed. That's what's going on in the world today. The devil's mad. He's a sore loser. He's going to lose. Amen? He's not going to succeed. God has set in motion His plan and it will be fulfilled. And the Lord is coming. Hallelujah. And let us break their bonds, they say. Let us break all covenants in pieces and cast away their cords, their commandments, their laws, their restraints. We want to live free of all rule and all restraint and all self-control. People used to think, how many grew up in the 60s and 70s or around at that time? If you just kind of throw off all restraints, then you're really going to be free. How'd that work for you? What I thought was going to be freedom was bondage. There's a reason why your parents tell you no. Maybe they've experienced a few things in life and discovered that the way of self-will is the way of death. And then we don't want our children to do the same thing. We want our children to obey the Lord. Amen. To follow in His ways. And he who sits in the heavens again shall laugh. The Lord shall hold them in derision. Do you understand? God's like not freaking out. He's not stressed out. He's not worried about things that are happening. He says, how ridiculous that which I create, thinking somehow that which I've created can overcome me, can defeat me. God will laugh in the heavens. And he shall speak to them in his wrath and distress them in his deep displeasure. But then he said in verse 6, yet I have set my king on my holy hill of Zion. How many know that Jesus Christ is coming again? And he's coming to rule from Jerusalem over all the earth. Hallelujah. The first coming of Jesus was a suffering servant to suffer on behalf of us, to provide atonement for our sins, to make a way for us to escape hell and to be able to come into heaven with him, amen, into his kingdom. But the second time, he's coming to rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We have but a window of time, a window of opportunity. Hear me, the day of opportunity will someday close. The door will close. The opportunity to be saved is now. The opportunity to get right with God is now. Not tomorrow, not one of these days, but now is the day of salvation. Today is. And a lot of people think, well, I'll just do what I want to do, and one of these days I'll commit my life. I'll give my life to Jesus, and I'll serve the Lord. And how many know that your life is but a vapor? It is quickly going by. And you cannot go back and redeem the wasted time that has already passed you. But what you can do is wake up today and say, hey, I've been out of the race. I've been out of the mission. I've been out of the will of God. It's time for me to get back in the race. It's time for me to get back with the Lord. Amen. And I can finish well. It doesn't matter where you've been. You can get back in the race today and you can finish your race with joy. But don't wait, because God calls you today to serve him. So there's going to be opposition against the church until the appointed time of the Father, when the Father sends the Son, and the Son comes to receive his church, his bride, his people. But we need to have the same attitude as Paul the Apostle. You know, if you ever have any confusion as to what Christian life should look like, take a look at Jesus and then take a look at Paul. In the Acts chapter 20 and verse 20, it says, how I kept back nothing that was helpful, but I proclaimed it to you and taught you publicly from house to house. Paul was very faithful to teach the word of God to the people of God, testifying to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. And see, now I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me. Oh, chains and tribulations. Oh, I don't know if I want that kind of Christianity. But listen to what he said in verse 24. But none of these things move me. Nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy. And the ministry which I receive from the Lord Jesus, to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. Paul was persecuted by his fellow men, his fellow Jews, and also the Gentiles as well, for testifying to the gospel of Christ. Amen. The gospel of grace. And the devil hates this. So he's going to raise up people to oppose God's people. Again, he can't touch God, but he will try to stop God's people. He will try to touch God by touching us. But God's going to deal with him. The day will come. God's not shaken by anything that's happening. Can you say amen? Amen. God is moving forward to the establishment of that throne on which Jesus Christ will rule this earth. Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 2 says, "It shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow to it." In other words, his kingdom, his authority is above all authority. Many people shall come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he shall judge between the nations and rebuke many people. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation." Hallelujah. "Neither shall they learn war anymore." I'm looking forward to the day when Jesus comes. I'm tired of the foolishness. I'm tired of the evil. So are you. We just want heaven to come. I want you to hear something. You can have heaven in your heart. No matter what's happening externally, God wants you to have his peace that passes all understanding. God wants you to know that there is a place of quiet rest near to his heart, near to the heart of God. And there is a place where sin cannot molest, near to the heart of God. God wants us to abide in him, to draw near to him, to stay close to him. And when we are close to him, we have the confident assurance that comes from him, the peace of God that passes all understanding, the hope of God that no matter how hopeless things may appear, I have a hope. I have a sure foundation in Christ. There's an anchor of my soul that reaches behind the veil. Amen. And I am connected to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. He is my righteousness. He is the sure foundation. And God will keep me. Don't ever run away from God. Run to God. When you blow it, don't run away from God. Run to God. Call on him. Apologize. And repent. Stop it. Stop your sinning. Amen? Stop it. Stop your rebelling. Stop your unforgiveness. Repent. "Well, Lord, look at all the good things I'm doing over here." He's saying, repent. And you'll have peace. You'll have rest for your soul. "Obey my voice, and you'll have my shalom, my perfect peace that passes all understanding." Just obey my voice. "Well, Lord, you don't know what they did to me, what he did to what she did." Just obey my voice and you'll have peace. God is able to make all grace abound to us. He's a more than enough God. He's bigger than that problem. He's bigger than that situation. God is well able. It's not, the failure is not on God's part. Can you say amen? God's not weak. We need to get over ourselves. We need to turn away from ourselves. And we need to start really walking with Jesus. Trusting in him every day. You want to know what America's problem is? Hear it. The same problem that Ezekiel had in his day. Ezekiel 16:49. "This was the iniquity of your sister Sodom. She and her daughter had pride, fullness of food, and abundance of idleness. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy." What is he saying? Here's the problem. Arrogance, pride. an unwillingness to submit to the authority of God. Fullness of bread, that means misplaced trust. It means that I'm trusting in things rather than the living God. Come on. Some people, their God is money, making money. They spend all their time, their efforts, until they wear themselves out making money. But what about the mission? What about the will of God? You cannot serve God and money. We need to make a living, amen? You need to go to work and make a living, but don't make money your God. Don't make that your passion, your drive to have it all, to keep up with the Joneses, to have the American dream. How many know that the American dream doesn't go to heaven with you? No U-Hauls, right? Going to heaven. Soon, and very soon, we are going to see the King. Oh, Lord, let me go back now and make restitution. Let me go back now and reconcile. Let me go back now and forgive. Lord, let me go back and make some changes. Too late. When we see Jesus, there's no time. Time is up. You see, a lot of us think, well, most people live to 70, 80, 90 years old nowadays. I've got plenty of time to get right with God. I got plenty of time to do something for Jesus maybe later on when I retire. Are you hearing me? Where are our priorities? Where is our treasure at? My treasure is going to be that which I spend my time on. My passions, my desires, what I'm spending myself on will determine what I really value. If I really value the Lord and His kingdom and the mission of God and the purpose for God for my life, then I will give myself over to God for the mission of God to be accomplished in my life. Not spending myself on everything else and maybe giving God a little spare change at the end. I don't know about you, but I want to bear much fruit. I want the Lord to say, well done, my good and faithful servant. I want to learn how it is to deny myself, amen, and take up my cross and follow Jesus. To listen to the voice of God. My sheep hear my voice. Do you understand? There are many people that hear the message over and over again, but they don't obey it. And the Bible warns us that that's deception. James says, don't be a hearer only. Be a doer of the word. God's called you and I to build the kingdom. To be involved in His mission and His work. To reach the lost. Amen. To make disciples. To rescue those who are perishing. To set captives free. To cast out demons in His name. To heal the sick. To raise the dead. The mission of God is our priority. The kingdom of God must be our priority. How is it that now God's just kind of like the leftover sometime? I got a little time for God now. Maybe I'll give Him a half hour, an hour maybe on Sunday morning. Oh. God loves you. God loves His children. God wants you to experience the joy of His fellowship, of friendship with Him. Do you know that Jesus had promised His disciples, if you walk with me and you obey me, you'll be my friends. And a friend is someone that you will share your secrets with. Amen? Do you understand? Some people think it's like, well, I don't want to have to serve. I don't want to be a servant and serve. Come on, it's a friendship that God's calling us to. And when you love somebody, you're willing to serve. My wife is such a good example of that in our home. She serves really me and serves us and takes care of our home, you know. And I know everybody's got a different cup in this world and different arrangements with kids and things that go on. But I want to say I am so blessed to have my wife, Heisuk, that she takes care of so many things that I don't have to pay attention to so I can be freed up to focus more on what God's called me to do. But what she's doing is an act of spiritual worship because she does it as unto the Lord. Understand? It's not a lesser thing. It's an important part of the whole. What I do in this world, when you work, when you go to work, you do your best. Amen. Because you do it as unto God. Amen. And not unto man. But what we need to be is that ambassador, that representative of Jesus, wherever we find ourselves, wherever we're working. God wants us to be on mission. God wants us to be about building. We need people that will go out and welcome and invite people to come to church. Hello. How many here came to church the first time because somebody invited you? How many had somebody even willing to pick you up and give you a ride to church? Understand? Sometimes it's just, I can just barely make it, let alone get somebody else to church. You understand, it's not about church. It is about the gathering of the saints. It is about the mission and the will and the purpose of God for which we have been separated. We're family. We all have value. Amen? There's no second-class citizens in the kingdom, as we say. Amen? We're all part of the same family. And we all have been given gifts and talents and abilities by God that we are to take and invest in the body, in the kingdom, amen, of building up God's household. Don't let the devil seduce you in pursuing just the temporal things. Yes, you got to make a living. But follow God in that. So many people, unfortunately, they're just driven by, I've got to have more. I've got to have bigger. I've got to have better. Amen? And you end up spending and actually destroying your body sometimes just trying to have more and better and bigger and nicer. Whereas, let's face it, we don't know what tomorrow holds. What am I doing? What have I accomplished? Have I done the will of God for my life? Have I discovered His heart? Have I been close to Jesus? Have I heard His voice? Have I obeyed His voice? Or do I just kind of do my own thing? And once in a while, if I find myself in a bind, then I'll call on God. Say, Lord, help me now. That's how I used to be. America's problem is that we're prideful. I can tell you, I've been overseas, and I've been with GIs overseas, and I know how sometimes our arrogance carries out. You know what I'm talking about? Guys go over there, and they just think they're better than everybody else. And they mistreat the locals and wonder why they don't like us. Prideful. Misplaced trust. Here it is. And another one he talked about is idleness. This is the problem of Sodom. Remember, Sodom and Gomorrah were the cities that God destroyed. What was the problem? Laziness. Idleness. I'd just rather sleep in than do the mission of God for my life today. Indifference towards others. Complacency. Apathetic. Well, let them figure it out on their own. Well, I'm sure somebody will help the poor. Somebody will feed the hungry. Don't feel led. Is it because we don't feel led, or we're just rebelling against what God's told us to do? That's really the question. We've used that as an excuse. I don't feel led. Now, I understand that God works in us both the will and do of His pleasure. Amen? We're all gifted differently. Not everybody's going to be doing street feed, for example. Amen? Not everybody's going to be teaching. But we all have been given something to do. And we need to discover what that is and be about our Father's business, doing what He's called us to do. Because soon and very soon, the Lord is going to come. Soon and very soon, the door of opportunity will close for people to be able to come under the ark Christ Jesus and to be saved. Are you hearing me? When God closes the door, Jesus said there will be those who will knock and say, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And it will be too late. You know, isn't it interesting that people are coming from Africa, different places around the world, to evangelize America? America needs to be evangelized. As a matter of fact, in some cases, the church needs to be evangelized. What are we doing? Are we aware of God's plan for our lives? Do you know what it is? Can we turn off the television long enough to get alone with God and discover what really matters? What's going to last for eternity? Get in the Word of God and discover His heart, His will, His mission. Know the voice of God? Or are we just going to hear another message and say, well, that was a good message, and go away and forget all about it? Hebrews 3:7 says, therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts. What does that mean? It means I'm saying yes or no. I've heard it, but I choose not to follow. And when you say no to God, the word actually has a hardening effect. Do you understand? It's actually dangerous to listen to the word if you're not going to obey it. We've got calloused people that have heard message after message after message, and their hearts are calloused because they didn't obey it. There's no longer a trembling at the word. There's no longer a sensitivity to the voice or the Spirit of the Lord, because they continue to hear it and may have even agreed intellectually that it was a good word, but in their hearts they rebelled and refused to obey the Lord. And your hearts become hardened. You know what? The good news is this. God is able to soften your heart again. Somebody say hallelujah. God wants to soften your heart again. God wants to pour His holy oil into your vessel again to saturate your life with His presence and revive, amen, your spirit, to breathe new life into you. If you're willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. How about that? Taste and see that the Lord is good. Apathy, complacency. It's all over everywhere. We need to come to the river of God, and we need to be revived. When you are revived, when your spirit is awake, you love fellowship with God's people. When your spirit is awake, you love to talk with Jesus. You love to pray. When your spirit is awake, you will sing praises to God spontaneously when your spirit is awake. When your spirit is awake, you will love the truth. You will love the Word of God. You will eat it. You'll delight in it. You'll meditate in it day and night. When you are in love with Jesus and your spirit is awake, you will love the things that He loves and you will hate the things that He hates. You see, Laodicea didn't realize their condition. They thought everything was fine. But we're really a live church. We're a church in revival, they thought. Until Jesus spoke to them. And they realized, oh my word, how far we have drifted. When you are close to the Lord, you will burn with His passion, His desire in you. You will love to see people come to Jesus. You love to see souls changed. Amen. You love mercy and grace. You love the things that God loves when you're alive. When you're alive, you'll be hungry for the Word of God. Oh, feed me. Give me some more of that good word. That's good stuff. Oh, yeah, liver and onions too. Yeah, that's good stuff too. You understand? Jesus said, you're the salt. He didn't say you're the sugar. Sometimes the Word of God is like, it's tough on us, but it's good. It's a refining Word. Amen? It purifies. It sets things in order. It causes us to see. It gives us an understanding of what's actually going on in our hearts. Because let's face it, most of us are poor judges of ourselves. We need the Spirit of God to tell us what's going on. Right? We can all say, oh yeah, I'm doing pretty good. Yeah, I'm all right. Me and the man upstairs are tight. The man upstairs? Which one are you talking about? When you are in revival, you are alive inside. God wants us revived. And folks, no man can revive you. We need Jesus. We need the Spirit of the Lord to breathe new life into us. Hallelujah.